So people under pressure, they behave differently. And they take different decisions whenever they are under pressure. If they are relaxed, they take more rational decisions. And one of the biggest pressure that we have these days is a financial burden. I cannot imagine someone has a check or a bill to pay, and then at the same time, this person will take a rational decision under that pressure. So the pressure on the wellness of the brain, of the mind, and the spirit is widely explored these days. But no one is speaking about the financial wellness, to be honest with you. So that's why it's a great opportunity to have you, Noor, on this podcast. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me to the show. It's my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to our episode.
Okay. Now, the way we introduce our guests is through asking a simple question about the purpose. If you can just share, what is your purpose in life, Noor?
To be honest, I'm currently focused on helping the newer generation to be self-reliant and independent. I'm actually trying to be somehow a positive role model and enlighten everybody or everyone from the new generation to be independent, as I mentioned, and to be well. Because I believe human well-being or individual well-being is very important and crucial.
The discussion that the purpose is coming from the struggle or a challenge in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you have a challenge in life, then your purpose will be crafted based on that challenge as a purpose in life.
Of course.
Do you think you have a challenge in that before? That's why you decided to take this as a purpose?
Definitely. So if I look back to my childhood, given that I was born and raised in Lebanon during the Lebanese war, it was very, very hard and almost impossible to take care of our well-being. We were just focused on safety, so we had to run from an area to another, and well-being was the last thing to think of. Let's say physical well-being or emotional well-being was like totally destroyed. So I think that how it started, that people need to be well, people need to take care of themselves, people need to take care of a lot of aspects, intellectual, emotional, spiritual, many, many, many things. And one of them is definitely the financial wellness.
Okay. Before we jump into our subject, you know, Lebanon has been classified as a hyperinflation country in terms of economy.
Yeah.
And I have high respect and admire for people struggling and still see the, what I can say, the bright out of the current situation in Lebanon. Do you think Lebanon at this stage and Lebanese people need more help and guidance from you when it comes to the financial wellness?
Definitely. So Lebanese people are well known for their agility and resilience. So we adapt quickly. We look at the bright side of things. We're positive, but definitely in this situation, people need to be aware. They need to be guided on what's going on and how to deal with the situation, because it's really difficult. Although Lebanon has been through a lot in the past years, but this time is like really the hardest.
I see. So moving from the current challenge in the country, we're all aware about the body wellness, mind wellness, spiritual wellness, but no one is touching base on about the financial wellness in that sense. What is financial wellness in your dictionary, in your definition?
So as you mentioned, like when we speak about wellness, it's always about food safety, shelter, all the basic needs, and then it comes to the social wellness and socializing activities and so on. But I believe financial wellness is the most important aspect of this, because it impacts everything else. So if you're financially well, you can have good food, better shelter, better social life. So it's all about finance. And if I want to define the financial wellness, financial wellness, by definition, is the overall financial health of an individual. So it is how do you measure your finances? It's how are your money habits? How do you control your money? How do you control your spendings? If you have, as I mentioned, if you have good financial health, then all other aspects would come after. That's by definition, if I can say.
So, just to make sure that I get the definition clearly. So financial awareness is your ability to absorb any difficult situation, for example?
It is actually, in some aspects, it's the ability for you to manage your money, your financial life.
Okay.
Because when you manage this, you can manage any shock or any emergency that would come to you, your future, your plans. If you manage your current situation, you can be in control of your future spendings and so on in from a financial perspective.
Okay, so the way we're aware of our financial position and how we're managing our financial position will cater for any future challenges or opportunities from a financial aspect.
Definitely. Through several things that we need to practice, through several habits that we need to learn, that would help us manage our economic and, if I can say, money life.
Okay. So if I go back to the definition, so now for non-finance people, non-finance background, do you think people with strong financial background, they are able to manage their financial wellness better than people with no finance background?
To be honest, I don't think so. Because everybody, finance people and non-finance people, are going through the same conditions, through the same, if I can say, attentive stuff, through the same challenges. So it's not about if you have a finance background or not. It's about self-discipline. How can you control yourself? How can you stop yourself from buying stuff that you don't need?
Okay. So you don't see a difference. Both of them will, it doesn't matter, it's not a condition that you have a strong financial background, you're able to manage your own financials, right?
Not at all. So because the decision is based on you and you are in control of this decision, so sometimes it's bias, sometimes it's related to emotional conditions. So sometimes you have emotional shopping, sometimes you buy stuff that you don't need, which in business, you don't have that.
I agree. Because there is an Arabic say that, the carpenter door need to be fixed.
Exactly. That's it, exactly. So, yeah, no matter how successful you are in business, when it comes to your financial, your own financials, it's a bit difficult.
Okay.
And that's related to many things, as I mentioned. So control, self-control, a lot of things.
Okay. Now, if you want to break down the financial wellness into the main components, at least we deep dive. So that's the definition of the financial wellness. If I want to go through the main components of the financial wellness, what are the main components of the financial wellness in that sense?
In my opinion, and based on few studies, the first most important thing in the financial wellness is the budget. You need to have a budget, even if you're individual and it's not business, it's not your own business. You need to have a budget. And you need to track your spending. You need to make sure you are on track when it comes to spendings and expenses, and try as much as possible to stick to that. That's rule number one. Rule number two, emergency funds. You should be prepared for any financial shocks, for any unexpected expenses that may come. So this is number two. Number three, it is insurance. You need to have insurance. You need to have health insurance. You need to have life insurance, and now newly introduced in the UAE, unemployment insurance. So you need to have insurance. Insurance is very important because it absorbs any shock that may come in terms of health, of loss of job. It supports a lot. So this is very important. Another thing that is also very important is the retirement savings. Definitely, it's a must for every person. And the last one, and in my opinion, it should be the source income. The source of income, you must have more than one source of income. That's really important. And it's for several reasons that we can discuss later.
Okay. I think each of these needs a separate episode, to be honest. But if I go for a few questions here, retirement plan or retirement fund, you know, we have different generation, you know, in life. So the generation, the more senior generation, they believe that retirement is just to stick to one job till the end of that job and get the retirement fund out of the job and that's it. Now, the new wave that retirement plans start at early, very early stage, at 20s or even before that, at least you have a small amount where you're ready. Another generation, they believe on early retirement. They don't believe that I'm going to stay in this job till 60 or 55. They have an early retirement plan even, so they squeeze budget to have an early retirement plan as well. If you can share some light about the retirement plans, and what is your views on that?
So in my opinion, a retirement plan is a combination of the two generations. So I think some people would prefer to be in the job for a long time, get the retirement end of service benefits, and that's it. But if it comes to me, I do believe that we can have a combination of both. We can have the job, we can have the end of service benefit, but on the side, we need to have some investments that generates money. So rather if it's crypto or stocks or your own business, it doesn't matter. But you need to have something that generates you money after that, because I don't want to go into that details, but the value of money that you will get after a certain number of years will be like very small to the future when you have to spend the money. So you need something to push you, to support you, to back you up and just if anything happens. And this comes again to the point that you should have more than one source of income.
So the main components of the financial wellness, they are linked. There is a strong link between all of them.
Exactly. So it's technically, if you have a budget, you can track your spending. If you track your spending, you can reduce them. Then you can have savings. And when you do savings, you can split them between emergency savings and retirement. And to be able to do that easier, you need more than one source of income. So it's somehow a chain that would lead you to secure somehow your finances and for you to be well financially.
Okay. Now, if you go a little bit deeper in that, Noura, everyone understands that you need to have a budget, you need to have emergency fund, you need to have another source of income. But then the behaviors play a bigger role after that. Because that's a known fact for anyone, that if I want to have a financial wellness, or at least I have a better financial position, let me call it this way, then I need to work on all of these. But what are the behaviors associated with all of these to make sure that you cut from your own expense, you have the right budget, you invest behind insurance, you invest from now in the retirement, and you have an emergency fund as well?
Okay, when we talk about behaviors, I think the first thing that we need to talk about and discuss is self-control bias. What is self-control bias? Self-control bias is the tendency to neglect your future goals for a specific thing that you need now. And that's because of lack of self-discipline. How does that impact you financially? So when you want something, you will lose the ability to assess rationally what you need now versus your future plans. I can give you an example. So let's say you are on budget. You have created the amazing sheet, spreadsheets and so on, started to make a plan for your retirement. Savings started first month, second month. A new iPhone model would come. Your budget is gone with the wind because you couldn't control your emotional bias, if I can say, or emotional suffering from stopping yourself to buy this item. And you go, you buy it regardless of the spreadsheets and the tracking. So it's very important to focus on your attitude towards money. Even if you go through a lot of readings and videos related to finance, they would give you a lot of learning and examples on how to create spreadsheets, how to control them, how to go through them, many examples. But I think the most important thing is to master your attitude towards money.
Okay. How I master my attitude towards money? Let me be honest with you. So budgeting is like being on diet in a way or another. You're sacrificing something that you love for a reason, for something that you should be prefer more. And budget can be, you know, being under budget is like a control. You don't have the freedom, you know what I mean? And there is no cheat meal in that case. The budget is a budget in that sense. So how I manage my behavior to be on track for on budget?
Okay, I do believe the opposite. So if I look at the budget, why would I look at it as a punishment?
Yeah.
Why would I look at it as a diet? Why don't I look at it as a tool that would help me plan for my next vacation?
Okay.
Or a tool to help me plan for my retirement so I can enjoy as much as possible. So if I look at my budget from a different perspective and keep this perspective in mind, that would help me look into it in a different way and don't feel like it's a diet. So that's very important. And one of the things that I do, so previously I was like an emotional shopper. I buy a lot of things that I don't need. And when I noticed this, it triggered something in me. So I used very simple steps to stop myself from this. The first thing was, when I go into somewhere where I see a lot of things that I want to buy, but I don't need. That's very important. I want, but I don't need. I would stop myself. I would breathe. I would think. And then I would think, what value would this add to my life? Is it, will it give me experience? Will it add anything to my future, to my plans? How important is this for me? And then if I'm still not convinced, I would call probably someone, brainstorm on them. Mm. Do I really need this? Does it add value? Someone close to you and someone who can somehow guide you. So this is what I tried to do. And honestly, it worked for me. It stopped me from buying stuff that I really don't need. And this is how it started helping me adding savings and following my budget. And
okay. Now,
I'm sorry to interrupt. And one thing that is very important in this is you always need to remember that you are in control of your money and not money controls you. This is very important.
Okay. Do you think emotional well-being and financial well-being are, they have a correlation?
Definitely. The first thing, overspending is related to emotions. When you're emotionally not stable, you will spend more, especially females, if I can say.
Mm.
So if you're sad, you will go shopping. If you're happy, you will go food shopping. If you're excited, you will go car shopping. So it's always about buying stuff. So it is definitely related. And then when you're financially unstable or financially unwell, that will lead to stress. And stress will lead to lack of ability to make correct decisions. And that will lead to burnout. And that will lead to more spending that you don't really need to. But you will feel that it's really important. I can't live without it. Where actually you can.
Just quick reflection. I love the tip that you gave when you have a question about buying something that you call someone, because the product in front of you managed somehow through the marketing and brand key and the power of the brand to get you in the emotion of buying, especially at this spot. But even you're not asking someone close to you, next to you, you're asking, calling someone out of this mystery of the product just to echo what you see. And then you have a rational decision based on that.
Exactly. But it's somehow important to to see whom do you call. So in my case, for example, if I call my best friend, she will tell me, oh, you definitely need that. Please do it right now. You cannot miss this opportunity. And if I call my sister, she would tell me, you don't really need that. You have several things that are similar to this. You don't really need it. Do not buy it. You do not go to the mall alone. So it's important whom you are consulting, but speaking to someone would get you a bit away from the idea of buying. You may get busy over the phone and walk, and that's it. And so, yeah, it's very important to call someone. It's really helpful. And I discovered this myself. In my situation, I had to call my sister when things are really not needed, because you know that you don't need it, but it's tempting. You want it.
Okay. So sometimes emergency fund give you the confidence, even if you don't use it. Having emergency fund give you the comfort that you will be able to manage such a situation to the extent of the emergency fund. If you can elaborate more, what is the emergency fund and how we can use it and how we can build it, and what is the right level of the emergency fund, for example?
Of course. So let me start by stating that we have several types of savings that we need to keep. The first one is emergency savings. The other one is retirement savings. And the third one is miscellaneous savings. So if I want to start with the emergency savings, it's a certain amount of your income that you need to put aside for any unexpected, unforeseen incident that may happen to you. For example, unexpected medical bill, or any break in your car, or anything that you are not ready for. Why do I need this emergency fund? Because if I don't have funds apart that are ready for any emergencies, the first option would be going into debts using a credit card. And I want to specify here that people who do not really get involved in finances do not really notice the amount of interest that they pay on credit cards and debts. For them, they would look on the monthly installments. It's okay. It's affordable. It solves the issue. We go for it. Where actually, finance people are more a bit aware of other details. But the fact that if you have emergency funds to cover unexpected shocks, that would help you avoid these interests and credit cards and debts. Because debts and credit cards would put you under stress that is really hard. When you reach to a limit where you are overpaying, all your income is going to debts to cover the minimum, you will burn out. So it's very important to have emergency funds. This is number one. Number two is the retirement funds. The retirement funds is very important to secure your future. So you've worked hard, you've saved money, you can enjoy. Okay, if you don't look for the future, if you don't have savings for the future, you will get older, less ability to work, you don't have savings, you don't have investments, you don't have other source of income, you'll be relying on other people, which is not well, it's not good for your well-being, and again, it leads to stress. And the third most important one is the miscellaneous savings. And this is really needed for everyone. When I say miscellaneous savings, it's savings for things that you like to do. You want to go on vacation, you want to buy a luxury bag, you want to do something that you've been dreaming of for a certain period of time. So this is miscellaneous. And sometimes I want to add, like, sometimes it's okay to deviate from your budget to cover something that a dream that you've been chasing for some time, but you need to be a bit realistic. This is very important.
Okay. I like the idea of the miscellaneous, because at least you give them the cherry on the top that you have budget even for something as a cheat.
Exactly. You have to treat yourself. You're working hard. You're working. Some people work 8 to 6, 6 days a week. And we work hard to cover all our needs. So we deserve a treat. So how do we treat ourselves from time to time? From the miscellaneous savings. Do not touch your retirement. Do not touch your emergency funds.
Okay.
This is very important.
Clear. I sense the messages to me.
It's for everybody. It's because I've been there And that's the only way you can somehow secure your financial future after retirement.
Okay. I think you answered the next question by classifying these three, but let me ask you the question if you want to elaborate more on that. How we can reach the balance between enjoying the moment for now and at the same time saving for the future or budgeting for the future. If I may say, Noura, here that we have two kind of behaviors. One behavior is that they don't care about the future at all and they enjoy the moment, as you call, enjoy the moment as we speak now. And then the other behavior as well, that people, they keep and save every single penny, if I may say, for the future. And they don't enjoy life as we speak now. Both situations have consequences on that person in different positions as well. So how we can keep the right balance between saving for the future and enjoying the moment of now?
So, of course, it's very important to save for the future, to secure that you're going to be okay when you get old. You don't need anybody. You have your own source of income. But it's also important to enjoy life. Okay, so you need to enjoy life while still young and have the energy to do stuff that you want to do. So you need to balance, and this is where the behavior comes. You need to balance in a way, and this is where budget and trackers come. So when you have a good budget template where you track your spendings, where you see what are you doing, it's where you can balance. What are you saving? What can you spend? And what you should not touch? So, and this is comes back to the very important point, which is miscellaneous savings. It's where you enjoy life. Now, going the extreme, I'm not spending anything and living the very minimum is not healthy as well, because this leads to stress and leads to burnout. So you need to balance. And to balance, you need to work on your behavior, your money habits.
Okay. But if we move to the call to action here, what would be the mindset that the person should have to impact their financial decision? Do you see the difference between mindset and behaviors in terms of financial wellness decision?
I do believe that they complete each other. So if you work, like if you have a certain mindset, it reflects your behavior. So when you think about something, you will act based on that. So, of course, they are related.
So, as I wrap up at the end of this episode, if you can just share the final thought about tips and tricks, like a final thought about having better financial wellness in general in life.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that we can do to improve our financial situation, our financial health. I think everybody who reads about this would know the rule of 50-30-20. What is 50-30-20? It is when you get your salary, the first 50% of the income would go to your needs. The second 30% of your income would go to what you want. So it's not a need, it's a want. And 20% of your income should go to savings. That's the general rule. If you are able to follow this, that's a very big step in your financial wellness. It helps you a lot. And again, as I said, to do that, to be able to do that, you need to have a budget and you need to track it. It's very important. And again, I emphasize on looking at the budget as a tool and not as a punishment. When you look at the budget as punishment, you will never enjoy working or following it. So it will always be a burden. It's very important to look at it from a different perspective. The third thing that I would emphasize on is do not spend before you earn.
Hey.
This is very important. And especially here in the region where facilities are easy, where credit cards and personal loans are easy, when you can buy a very luxury car on that, you need to make sure you don't spend before earning. That's very important, and it will help you. You will save in interest. You will save your energy, you will say less stress. It's very important not to spend before earning. I can repeat it a lot and many, many times. It's very important. The third thing that I would think of is earn more to save more, not to spend more. So, and this is again goes to the mentality and mindset and behavior and attitude towards money. We need to focus on that when we get a better job, when we get a better income, we need to save more, not only spend more. So literally what people have, when they get better money, they will...
They upgrade.
Exactly. So if he has a small car, it would go to an SUV. If you have a one-bedroom apartment, you will go to a townhouse. So it's fine. You should treat yourself. But don't spend all the money that you're getting. That's the idea. One more thing that is very important, it's act your wage. Okay? When I say act your wage, it's very important to avoid shiny object syndrome. What is this? It's everything around you is calling you. Every way, wherever you go, more spending. So you need to be careful of that. It's not what you see on social media is not what is the reality. So I was actually watching one documentary, and it was very exciting. So it was about the fashionistas and the bloggers. The guy was talking about that he would use to rent a private jet for a full week. And the bloggers would come to this private jet and take photos with different outfits, different looks. And they save it for them to post it on social media whenever they are traveling. So... and that they do not travel on private jets. And the fact behind this documentary is that to make people aware that it's not what we see on social media or around us is the reality. The reality is different. Nobody has those millions easily. Okay, some people have more money, but it's not as it's showing in the social media. So we need to be very careful when it comes to shiny objects. Another thing... As I mentioned before, set a budget and track it. It's very important to track it. When you track it, you will be able to watch what you're spending. You will be able to avoid unnecessary spendings. You will be able to prioritize what you have. When you reach the limit, you will be noticing. You can say, okay, I need to watch out. I'm at the limit. I'm on the edge. So it's very important to create budget and track it. It's very important to track it.
Okay. Lenora, I think we reached the end of this episode. I have that feeling that I need to go home now and track my budget as we speak. You put the right message for me, at least. I see the need now that I need to review my budget. Do not spend before you earn it. I think the value that you shared in this episode, I think it will be a... like the first step for people to start to realize that there's something called financial wellness and they need to pay attention to their financial wellness as equal as their mind wellness, their spiritual wellness, their body wellness in general.
I totally agree. And when you are financially well, you will be able to take care of other aspects. You will be able to think of gyms. You will be able to think where I'm going to travel. You will be able to think of spa. And people link what they actually earn, so they think if they don't earn big salary, then they cannot be financially well. It's not. If you practice how to be well, you will be well.
I agree.
It's you need to live your wage. Yeah. Act your wage.
I agree. Nora, thank you very much for joining us. I think that's a fabulous input from your end. And if I may say, one of the initial point that made me to start this podcast, Finance for Non-Finance as well, is to spread the knowledge about personal financing, budgeting, investment. And I think you tapped the right point for our audience, which is financial wellness. So for people from non-finance background, they are in a real need to understand these concepts and start practice them as we speak now. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode.
Thank you so much, Mahmoud, for this lovely episode. It was really great discussing a lot of the financial wellness with you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Noor.